May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 349. Jesus, Shepherd of thy people, lead us through this desert land. We are weak and poor and feeble, yet we trust thy mighty hand. Great protector, by thy power alone we stand. 349.
Thank you. let us read from the Word of God. Firstly, Psalm number 45, and also reading in Solomon's Song, chapter 4. The Psalm number 45. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of things which I have made, touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore hath God blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, and with thy glory and thy majesty, and in thy majesty ride prosperously, because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. The sceptre of thy kingdom is a right sceptre. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among thy honourable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. For he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among thy people shall entreat thy favour. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of the fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee for ever and ever. Let us also read in the Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Galeed. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which come up from the washing, whereof every one bear twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the Tower of David, builded for an armoury, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers and shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. until the day break and the shadows flee away. I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's den, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments like the smell of Lebanon. The garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates, with pleasant fruits, camphire with spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, and blow upon my garden, that the spices may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he help us in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, we beg thee to give us, each of us, we could please thee, a breath of real prayer. Oh, we venture to come to approach thee at the mercy seat. Oh, we would bow low, Lord. We would come confessing our sins and pleading again for mercy. Mercy through blood, I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. Thou knowest each case, Lord, each heart, each soul of the friends gathered here. We meet again at thy command. We thank thee for thy day, Lord. We thank thee for the sanctuary. But, higher than these, we thank thee for thy precious word that we meet around and we seek to consider together tonight. Oh, the wonderful word of life. Oh, thy wonderful truth. And Lord, the truth, we hope we know it as it is in Jesus. We beg thee, do come. So grant this evening, in this hour in thy house, thy favour and thy blessing. Oh, may we feel the blessedness of thy holy presence among us. Oh, we beg thee that the dear Holy Spirit of truth may take of the things of Jesus and reveal those wonderful blessed things to us. Help a poor instrument, Lord. Oh, thou knowest we have come, Lord, to be with our friends who we love in thy name. Thou knowest the change in arrangements, Lord, as we usually go down to preach at Rye, that little chapel near the sea, on this occasion. But thou hast ordered it, Lord, we believe, that we should be here with our friends here tonight. We remember to pray for our dear friend, who keeps open that little chapel at Rye, who knoweth how he has felt led to have a few days' rest and change with his son on the seaside near the sea area of Mid Wales. And Lord, attending the trust meeting yesterday. And Lord, all these things we believe are in thy will. But oh, as the dear deacon and with the dear beloved deacon, we together, three of us in the vestry, we've been begging, Lord, that thou mightest so appear tonight and make it to be proved one of thy divine appointments, of thy favour to bless souls and do them good, and that there might be that wonderful purpose according to thy sovereign will in us being together tonight here. We do remember our dear friend, thy servant, Lord, who was engaged to be among the friends here. We know not the extent of his illness, Lord. We understand he is unwell. We do pray, Lord, for him and in his pathway in life. And oh, do heal him, do restore him, Lord. May he be given meditation, Lord, even tonight, as he will be perhaps pondering the fact he is not able to be here, as I know, dear Lord, we have some close feeling toward him, Lord, and conversation with him. He loves the dear friends here. And, oh, Lord, we do pray thou wilt go to him and bless him, do him good. And, Lord, oh, we pray, Lord, thus that any who are not able to be found here, Lord, who knoweth how we think of those and those that are in illness and weakness and near the end of their days, some, Lord, we think of one particularly. Lord, who knoweth all things. We would remember all those who we know are afflicted as we think of those up and down across the land, in the hills of Zion, in our beloved group of churches, Lord. Many of thy people are afflicted. Many too are in sorrow, Lord, as thou hast taken from them their dear loved ones. We remember each and all of our friends. And the Lord, we do pray thou wilt raise from affliction. May it wonderfully be like we sometimes sing, matter eternity to fill with ever-growing praise. We pray for all thy people, Lord, throughout the world. Many, many, many we do not know, but thou dost know them all. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, oh, grant thy favour and presence and grace to them, Lord, those that particularly are in very trying circumstances. We do not know the detail, Lord, but we know of the terrible things that are taking place in the world. Oh, what a terrible world it has become, with so much violence and wickedness. And oh, Lord, all the things, these things which affect thy people. Oh, we pray for them, Lord, and we pray, believing, Lord, thou wilt be with thy people and wilt be where thy people are. Lord, may it be so tonight with friends as we think of those in the western lands, still more in the middle of the Lord's day. But, Lord, we know in the eastern lands they are finished the Lord's day. But thou hast thy servants everywhere. We believe in thy holy omnipotence, Lord. Oh, we bow before thee, O God, the great God, the living God, the only true God. Our God is in the heavens, And Lord, we hope humbly we can acknowledge he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And thou wilt do thy will, Lord. And oh, we pray we may so be given grace to know and do thy will in our individual lives and pathways. Oh, we pray we might so live in obedience and with exercise to live to thy praise. Oh, we may daily be seeking to honour thee with praise and thankfulness. We're not in a deserved hell, thou hast not cut us off. We have hope, and Lord, as our friend has pleaded it, we trust we are favoured to know our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Oh, do come, Lord, tonight. You know, if one does feel, he can say, my heart is indicted in a good matter. But Lord, not just to be indicted in it, but to be pouring out what thou dost pour in, that it may be in thy wonderful purpose for the blessing of souls here, for their being blessed and favoured. Do good, Lord, in them and for them, in thy good pleasure. Thy cause and truth here, oh, we pray thou wilt give witness that thou art working here, thou hast given witness. Thou hast done wonderful things. We look for more. We are covetous, Lord, for more, zealous for thy glory. Oh, we know the dear deacons are. Oh, we watch, we wait. Oh, that there was work and favour souls, draw them by thy love. Oh, help them, Lord, that they may hear thy call. Like as we've been reading in those wonderful words, figurative they are, Lord, but what they are so wonderful as to what they bespeak of. Oh, bless souls that they may be able to say, my beloved is mine, and I am his. But oh, that there might yet be the witness here in this garden of thy grace. My beloved is gone down into his garden, come down into his garden to eat his pleasant fruits. Blow upon this garden again, Lord, that the spices may flow out. No, favour souls that they may know what we've read in that chapter of the Song of Solomon. Those wonderful words thou didst use in one's own case, speaking them with power to one's heart and soul. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Dear souls, Lord, who are burdened over their sin and guilt, weighted down with it, oh, very anxious to know their sins forgiven. Speak to them, Lord. Oh, seal the favour to them. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. All their sins blotted out, put away by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we beg thee, do work in these ways, Lord. Give assurance. May precious souls be earnestly seeking for assurance. Assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood. Oh, and grant a blessed assurance, Lord, to thy dear people. May they give thee no rest, Lord, till thou dost reveal thy love with power. So do work, we beg thee. And in this way, Lord, we beg, we believe we have it in our heart, exercise in our heart and soul, that it may be so, Lord, for thy honour and thy glory. O Lord, benefit thy people will be favoured and blessed to acknowledge if thou dost give thee indeed blessing. The benefit is ours by thy grace, the free favour of God, free grace, free mercy, made free by thy making thy people free. Oh Lord, all that bondage gone, but to acknowledge it. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Oh, free, set at liberty. Oh, we pray there may be those set at gospel liberty. Could he please thee so to do tonight? Oh, we beg thee, do work, Lord. Hear our prayers for our country, our homeland, England. Thou knowest, Lord, how we are troubled and concerned. How we are concerned regarding the elections coming. We do hope thou wilt, in mercy, cause those things to be attended to, that we might have a good government. We have to acknowledge with great sadness we've seen much of the treachery of past governments, what they've done, and how those solemn, sad changes in our laws have been brought in. We have much to confess of our national sins, Lord. We pray, hear us in our solemn confessions, and still have mercy on England, Lord, we beg thee. We are concerned, Lord, thou knowest, for souls. In the dear young people and others, Lord, that there may be. Oh, Lord, how we believe thou hast a purpose yet. And we watch and wait, watch for souls. They will quicken souls and make them cry. Jesus, save me or I die. They will bring those other sheep. Oh, thy sheep shall come to Zion. And in our land, that their mighties lengthen out our privileges, our liberties, we might not lose them, Lord. That there was work, that there might be more proper respect to those who are Christian people, Lord. The Christian name has been much set at naught. We do pray, give us to have the liberties that we have enjoyed for so long, continue them to us. And, Lord, for the sake of the remnant in the land, and for the sake of those we watch and wait for, that they would witness souls born of the Spirit. Lord, what our dear young people may see if the decline goes on, we hope it will not. We pray it will not. The things of morals and standards, Lord, terribly fallen and degraded by sin. In mercy, still look upon us and help us, Lord. Appear for us. Lord, now as we cannot multiply words in these ways, but thou knowest it's our burden every day. Lord, do hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, Lord, forgive. We would remember to acknowledge thy wonderful goodness in the sending of the wonderful rain. Lord, we did feel so much that there was more and more visiting us with judgments in withholding the necessary rain. Lord, but now thou hast in great mercy sent the rain in a good measure. We feel humbled at it, Lord. Who knoweth how we think of our friends involved in these things of need of rain. Think of all the pastures of our friends' flocks. We think of the fields, Lord, of some of our friends. Thou knoweth, and we know, dear friends, they are diligent in their own growing of food crops in their gardens. How we are blessed with the favour of this. There was not withheld the rain, but gave it in a good measure. But, Lord, we pray there may be a gracious rain. So be such favour and blessing in many souls. and thou shalt have all the glory. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1070. Thou friend of friendless sinners hear, and magnify thy grace divine. Pardon a worm that would draw near, that would his heart to thee resign. A worm by self and sin oppressed, that pants to reach thy promised rest. 1070.
Thank you.
As the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to the psalm that we read, Psalm number 45, and the first verse. Psalm number 45, verse 1. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. We may touch upon and go into the following verse. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. These words of the psalmist, acknowledging how by grace he is greatly favoured, and his heart, his new heart, not his old heart, his heart is indicting a good matter. And the good matter is regarding King Jesus, the Son of God. That's what the good matter is. For he goes on to say, my heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. King Jesus, not an earthly monarch, not King David, not any king on earth, King Jesus, the Son of God. This word is so much upon and in and as prophecy concerning the Messiah, he, the Son of God, who will come, who must come, and we look back and acknowledge he has come. Oh, how the psalmist is blessed here and testifies, acknowledges, my heart is indicting a good matter. I hope humbly, I would not want to in any way make you think I'm in any way special or better than any. But I can say in these last few days, my heart has been indicting some wonderful good matter. Oh, how Christ is precious. He's the altogether lovely, the chief among 10,000. You know this, I pray might be tonight a special word from God to you. I have hope it will be. My heart is indicted in a good manner. I speak of the things which I've made, touching the King. The King, the Saviour, the Son of God. He who is that one named as the dear Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Oh, friends, my heart is indicted in a good manner. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. It's not that I have made them, but this is how it is put. I have made in me by God's grace. I am made to believe in him. I am blessed to know him. He is so precious. He is that one altogether lovely, chief among 10,000. And how is it that one is led to feel such wonder and amazement of the goodness of God, the Lord Jesus Christ made so precious. Well, friends, I've thought back the last few days a lot to my early days when God did solemnly deal with me, convinced me of my sin, and I was in a place of great trouble, soul trouble. Had no hope, was expecting damnation, was expecting to be cast away out of God's sight in hell. But God did wonderfully appear and raise me to hope. And that hope was so given one in Jesus Christ. He became so precious when I listened to dear friends in prayer, like we have done together, your two deacons in the vestry, one of them praying. Oh, here we feel the wonderful favour of this. When we hear it acknowledged regarding Jesus Christ, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. This is part of the good man, and my heart is indicting. It's not our old natural heart, it's the new heart, the new man of grace. It's God by the Spirit affecting us, sanctifying us, working in us, teaching us, dealing with us, giving us to so be led to consider Christ, to acknowledge him, how precious he is to us. Friends, let us come down, as it were, to consider how we are, how you are, and how I am. God shows us what we are. And when he does, he makes us know the seriousness of it. He makes us know our guilt as sinners, convicts us of it, convinces us of it. And he'll make his people to know and feel their guilt of sin. Oh, they will know, be brought to know themselves what they are. Something I pray for nearly every day, I think I can say I do every day, that the Lord would deal with dear loved ones and friends and make them know what they are and where they are. Because I know by experience, if God make them know what they are and where they are, they will be brought to know, if God makes them know, that they're sinners. They're poor, fool and lost, how deserving sinners. We all are. But you know, millions are, the whole world is. Poor, lost, guilty sinners. But so few know it. But this is a wonderful thing indicted within my heart to acknowledge the wonderful favour, really, of being brought to become under grace a convicted, a convinced sinner. Oh, are you such a soul, a convicted and convinced sinner? A sinner made sensible to know and feel what a sinner you are before God. Oh, if he do this for you, you will need the Saviour. You will need the precious blood of the Saviour that he shed at Calvary. Oh, hath thou been convicted, convinced of thy sin? Oh, art thou a guilty, needy sinner? And because you're a guilty, needy sinner, there's this wonderful hope that God raises his people to, that they are such sinners, but Christ has come to save sinners. It's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we are brought to feel, friends, like Paul the Apostle did. We are brought to know and feel we're the chief sinners, none as bad as me. You say, none so solemn and so guilty as I. Oh, this is how God will teach you. If he loves you, if he chose you before the world, he must bring you to be feelingly guilty as a sinner before him, and then in great mercy to reveal to you a precious Saviour, a dear Redeemer. My heart is indicted in a good matter. Such a good, wonderful matter for these guilty, hell-deserving sinners. This is that here is the words relating to King Jesus, the Son of God, the coming Messiah, as it was in the days of the psalmist. They look forward to the coming Messiah. We look back to see the burdens Christ did bear when hanging on that accursed tree, and hope our guilt was there. My heart is indicting a good matter. And the good matter is this, friends. He's able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Now, has God brought you to become a coming sinner, one who has to plead for mercy, one who has to go pleading for the Lord to have mercy on him? Or has he made you to be in great need to confess your sins and plead for mercy, to plead for Jesus' sake, to plead the blood that did for sin atone? Has God revealed to you this wonderful person the Son of God, the wonderful way of salvation by divine substitution, that Jesus Christ came to suffer the just for the unjust, to bring his people to God, come and suffered in a ruined place instead of his people, bore the curse, paid the price for the redemption of the Church of God, even the price of the shedding of his holy blood. Friends, is he so precious to you? Because it is him only, him alone. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Oh, and you're brought to know and feel it. Oh, he's so precious. Precious Jesus, friend of sinners. Oh, how many times we've sung that in Southery Chapel over the years, ever so many times, and I know you sing it here. Oh, what a theme it is, isn't it? What a truth it is. Wonderful truth. Precious Jesus, friend of sinners. See one's heart. One is proving this by the Spirit, indicted in a good manner. I speak of things which I have made touching the King. Oh, that he is able to save. The way of salvation must be by the price paid for the redemption of the Church of God. And there was nothing good enough, no animal good enough. They were only types and shadows. It must be a perfect sacrifice, even a sacrifice as ourselves. Oh, here there is so much blessed truth within these words, within this acknowledgement, the sacred humanity of Christ. Oh, I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. God has shown us, taught us, burned it in us, that we know that the Son of God is that one who came and took upon him human nature, separate from sinners. I think of it in the lovely couplet that it is very clear, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, our incarnate deity, took into perfect, indissoluble union his holy divinity with his humanity, made, found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Poured out his soul unto death, suffered in body, mind and soul, our Lord did, in the ruined place instead of his people. My heart is indicted in a good matter. The perfect sacrifice, the acceptable sacrifice, acceptable with God the Father. The one, the man, Christ Jesus. Oh, wonderful man, loving man now, who rules the courts of bliss. His human heart, he still retains, though throned in highest bliss, feels each tempted member's pains and their afflictions his. My heart is indicted in a good manner. So I speak of the things which I have made, touching the King. We must understand, friends, that it's not that a person can make themselves right, but this is I have made as God has given me understanding, given me faith, given me to know the truth. And in this favour with my new heart, wherein is that enabling granted, the child of God can by faith lay hold of Christ, the things which I have made, touching the King. Oh, touching the King in a way to acknowledge the wonders of redeeming love, to acknowledge him, the Son of God. Oh, the dear Redeemer, the Saviour. Oh, he, the man, Christ Jesus, wonderful, touching the King, touching the King in a way to humbly acknowledge with great gratitude and thanksgiving that He is our Lord, our life, our all. Our hope is grounded upon Him, His finished work. Oh, the things which I have made, touching the King. We have spoken regarding the wonderful way He is the Redeemer, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. For the Son of God came and shed His blood, and the holy blood of Christ was that price paid for the redemption of the church. Oh, here we have it in one of our hymns when we're confessing our sins and pleading for mercy and plead the blood that did for sin atone. Oh, the hymn writer there has it in all the verses, and plead the blood that did for sin atone. If you are guilty, feelingly guilty, how deserving sinner, that's what you must be brought to do. By faith, God teaching you, giving you, raising you to a hope and revealing to you Christ, you plead the blood that did for sin atone, the blood of Christ, the precious blood of the Lamb. But oh, the things which I have made, touching the King. King Jesus came to this earth. Oh, think of Him how He was as laid in the manger. In the manger, see in the manger the Ancient of Days, eternal God, eternal Son of God. Oh, and how He was in the weakness, as it were. But oh, how it was appointed He must grow and go. And we think of Him when He was 12 years old, going up to Jerusalem and reading among the doctors in the temple. And then His parents sought Him sorrowing. And what he said, wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business. And oh, Mary kept all these things at in the scene in the stable. Things then, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Oh, He, the Son of God here, this is He, tis He. Tis God's dear Son, wrapped in humanity to die for crimes. Can you say that I have done? I hope I can say it, friends. Crimes that I have done. This is what makes Him so precious, so adorable, so lovely. Wonderful is the Saviour to souls who are redeemed from death. Oh, how precious He is. Precious indeed He is. The one thing needful. And oh, the one thing needful you will say, dearest Lord, is to be one with Thee. And are you after these favours? Do you pray like it goes on? A sense of Thy expiring love into my soul convey. Thyself bestow, for Thou alone, my all in all, I pray to know and feel it, to acknowledge it, to thank God, to praise God. Oh, that He's such a Saviour, such a dear Redeemer. Oh, an able and a willing Saviour too, for sinners to so know and have the favour sealed to them by the Spirit that He shed His blood for me, indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the King. You know He's that one who kept the whole law of God on the behalf of His people. He, that Holy One, He ever was and is and ever will be, and acknowledged by the Church, the Holy One of Israel. He kept the whole law of God on His people's behalf. You and I need to know this, that He brought in everlasting righteousness for every one of the Church of God, every one of the family of God. Oh, we can never be righteous, friends. We're unrighteous. We may have righteousness rooted in us, which is false and not real righteousness. we may be self-righteous. If we are, God will have to strip us of it. Oh, the folly of self-righteousness, the folly of self-esteem, the folly of being confident in the flesh. We have no confidence in the flesh when we're taught by God. Oh, he has to bring us down, friends. He has to bring us to be in need of righteousness. Real, holy, complete and full righteousness. Oh, we must be made righteous if we're ever going to enter into heaven. If God has a purpose to have us with him forever in glory, we've got to be made righteous. And the way of God is that he has purpose to impute the holy righteousness of Christ to his people. Can you acknowledge you have hope, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty, my glorious dress? Do you have hope? Are you favoured to be able to humbly hope you know this? Has God given you any true, real, sure seal of this? Are you after it if you have not been favoured to know it? Oh, are you after the blessing which will seal to you that you're clean through the word, that you're redeemed, you're clean, that you're made to be so blessed and favoured? Oh, is it your hope? Is it what you need? Is it what you're seeking earnestly? Jesus, thy blood and righteousness. For God's people are in God's will to know that they are righteous in Christ. They're redeemed. They're cleansed. They're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. If we are to be prepared for heaven, we do need to be in the favour of this, and only God can grant it. Only God can bring us into the favour of it. But I believe he will give his people concern and exercise and prayer to pray for this, to pray to know this favour, that he is the Lord our righteousness. He is that one who has wrought our righteousness. And he will give us to be earnest in prayer to pray we may know and have it put upon us by the Spirit of God. We may be clothed in his righteousness, dressed in that holy wedding garment, that wonderful favour to know the love of Christ, the power of the love of Christ and the favour of it in the way of God's blessing. Shedding abroad his love in our hearts, granting us forgiveness, pardon, peace that comes with pardon sin, justification by faith, as we are blessed, favoured to be dressed in Christ's righteousness alone, filthiness to stand before the throne. You need his righteousness, friends. He is the one who has righteousness enough to sanctify us all, friends. Now, are you after it? Are you earnestly seeking for it? Are you seeking that God would so seal you with such blessing, to favour you to know that he shed his blood for you, he's redeemed you, he's kept the law of God for you, he has wrought that robe of righteousness, and that he has that wonderful purpose to favour you, to clothe you with that royal garment, that wedding garment? Oh, what a favour it is, friends. You know, this was the great favour God granted to this poor, wretched sinner when he blessed us and those words were sealed to us under the ministry of the late J.S. Green. When the word was sealed with power, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. You see, the way God so seals his people with blessing, it is by faith. These characters, these needy souls who need salvation, need redemption, need pardon. They need forgiveness. They need to know, as we have brought you to the point of this high favour in the delivery of the message, you need to know that the Lord is the Lord, your righteousness, that it is his righteousness that he has so blessed you with, imputed to you, sealed, put upon you, and sealed with the blood of your redemption, your pardon. Oh, that you are blessed with this, dressed in the righteousness of Christ. The way of God's sealing it is by faith, friends. He will grant his people that measure of faith in that wonderful strength, strong faith, and the application by faith, and convey the word and seal the word to one's soul. You know, and I will say this carefully to you, you see, the Lord can bless more than one with the same word. And as I have named those words, and we've read that word in the Song of Solomon in the 4th chapter, thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. It was in my experience that the Lord did seal that word on a Wednesday evening in Stopford Hope Chapel. I could take you to the spot, the seat, not the same seat, but the same position in Hope Chapel, Stopford. There were two, three seats forward from me sat my late godly grandfather. Knew God blessed him with the same word, sealed it to him. Thou art all fair, my love. The same very moment he sealed it to me, he sealed it to my godly grandfather. I didn't know he had. Not until after the following weekend. But I know he did, because he testified it to me before he died. And you see, friends, the Lord can use his word, the wonderful words of grace, the wonderful words which are words of assurance. He can seal them to precious souls according to his will. He will do it. And the power of the words of Christ, the power of the word when it's conveyed by the Spirit and sealed by the Spirit by faith into the child of God. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Dear late friend, Mr. Green was a good minister. A minister God used much. But it wasn't the instrument, friends. Though I did love him much, it was the Lord. It's the Lord. The Lord seals the blessing. Jesus speaks and speaks to thee. And he will question thee. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? I delivered thee when bound and when wounded, healed thy wound. Some of you have been blessed. Some of you have been favoured. Some of you have known and tasted redeeming love. I feel the persuasion of it, friends. But you know, you haven't spoken about it. You haven't testified it. Really, friends, there's something solemn there for you to really consider. I wouldn't wrongly judge. I don't want to say anything wrong. But oh, if he's blessed you. Your tongue. Your tongue, our tongue becomes a ready writer, friends. I speak of the things which I've made, touching the king. My tongue is made. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. This is a wonderful ready writer for God's glory. There were many ready writers among the Jews, among Israel, the legal people, the Pharisees, the Jews, the legal Jews, And the way of the Jewish religion is to, time and time and time again, write out the book of the law of God. They live writing it. They live repeatedly writing the law of God. It's their exercise, their practice. But, oh, friends, these poor, wretched sinners who have the law written in their heart by God, by the Spirit, they are not needing to write like the Jews do in a legal way, their tongue. When they're blessed, when they're raised to a hope, when Christ is made precious, their tongue becomes the pen of a ready writer. Should do, should become the pen of a ready writer. The psalmist's tongue was the pen of a ready writer, speaking to the glory of God, testifying what the Lord had done for my soul. This is how your tongue and mine should be the pen of a ready writer. And you know, these words that follow, they're a wonderful acknowledgement. They were fairer than the children of men. This is Christ. This is how the church will speak of Christ. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Of course he is, the Holy One, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, come to this earth to do all what was needed for the whole church of God, to save the church, to redeem the church. Thou art fairer. But think of the, well, it's really the bride acknowledging the bridegroom. Oh, how fair, so fair a face, bedewed by tears. What beauty e'en in grief appears. He wept, he bled, he died for you. What more, ye saints, could Jesus do? Thou art fairer, fairer than the sons of men. None of our closest loved ones, those that we are espoused to in nature, those that are very dear to us, can be compared to Christ, compared with Christ. In all beside, no comeliness I see. And oh, the one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. A sense of thy expiring love into my soul convey. And when he does, friends, we must speak of him. We must tell of him. We must testify it. Oh, if these should hold their peace, the very stones will cry out. I remember when the late Mr. Sperling Tyler spoke that to me. If you hold your peace, the very stones will cry out. Oh, whether he should have said it, I don't know, but the dear man did say it to me. And it did affect me, friends. And I hope what the Lord by the Spirit gives me to speak tonight, I would not be left to any wrong words. Oh, may the Lord affect you. May he bless you. May he further do you good. May he stir you up that you may hear the call of Christ to follow him. This constraining love. Oh, to tell of what he is to you, how precious he is, what he's done for you, how your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. For friends, surely there are those of you. And oh, you may be able to be quiet and not acknowledge it to me, but your God knows. He knows what he's done in you and for you, friends. Be aware of that. He knows what he has done. He knows it was said of him. He knew what he would do. And he knows everything, friends. He knows how he has blessed you. Are you going to grieve him by keeping silent over that which you should speak of? Your tongue should be the pen of a ready writer. Oh, it should, a ready writer, to make known, to communicate, to testify what the Lord has done for you. My tongue. See, the psalmist was greatly blessed, greatly humbled. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer. Think of how we read in the Song of Solomon, how the spares there acknowledges that one who is to her the altogether lovely and the chief among 10,000. How the spares acknowledges speaking to the daughters of Jerusalem, others that are interested or are concerned, we hope, exercised they were. The Lord knows each one of them how they were. But here the inquiry is, what is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women, that thou dost so charge us? The spares had charged the daughters of Jerusalem not to stir up nor awake my love till he please. And oh, here there's those many words, those many phrases, those many things stated. Very lovely, how precious, how glorious. The altogether lovely, the chief among 10,000. This is my beloved. This is my friend, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. Oh, friends, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer to tell of him, to speak of him, to testify of him, to tell of his wondrous faithfulness and sound his name abroad, to acknowledge God, God Jehovah, God our Father. The Father gave his dear Son to come to this earth to suffer the just for the unjust, to bring his people to God, and he has completely, completely finished that work that the Father gave him to do. My heart is indicting a good matter to the glory of God, good matter to the praise of Jehovah, good matter, His wonderful free grace from the first to the last has won my affection and bound myself fast. Oh, he is so fair, fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Oh, everything he spoke was grace. Everything he spoke was to give glory to God the Father. Everything he spoke was for the good of his own dear people. Never man spake like this man. Grace is poured into thy lips. And therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Think of that. God hath blessed the Son of God. The will of God. The will and the counsels of Jehovah. That Christ, he must have the preeminence. He must be glorified. And bless thee forever. For God has given his dear Son all the family of God to come to the earth and to redeem them, and he has redeemed them. He's redeemed the church. They are his purchased possession, bought with a price. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. Oh, in that way, acknowledging the will of God all completely accomplished, and the holy pleasure in the Godhead, as God sees the church all safe in Christ, redeemed, the sacrifice of the Lamb that was slain from before the foundation of the world. Oh, and the church complete in him. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. You know, we are called to bless God, to praise God, to praise God from whom all blessings flow, to extol God, to praise God, to live to his praise. Oh, friends, how you and I should think of it and consider it and acknowledge it as God gives us that enabling, that grace. We're living our lives. I mean, you may have been thinking, even while I've been preaching, what you have to attend to tomorrow. But is it that important? When you consider it alongside the solemn reality that you possess a never-dying soul, that you are living your life going on day by day, fast toward the end of your life, an eternity is before you, eternity, the judgment day. What is most important? Oh, is to know Jesus Christ, the one thing needful. Felt it March on Wednesday, preaching at Colnbrook. I don't want to advertise myself, but the sermon is published. Preaching from the word, one thing is needful. You know, one thing is needful, friends. One thing is needful for your soul's salvation. It's to know and believe in Christ, to have the seal of the Spirit, that He is your Lord, your Saviour, and that He's done all for you. But there is a way, an angle of that. One thing is needful for God's glory, and that is that His people should acknowledge what He's done for them. It seemed to open up to me like that. If you want to listen to it, you can. I don't want to be in any way fostering anything toward me. But friends, the needful fact is that the Lord has a purpose to come down into His garden and eat His present fruits. You know, where we have in the song, in those two chapters, I think it is, it's certainly the second chapter, one of the further on chapters, the spouse acknowledges and the bridegroom acknowledges. The spouse acknowledges, my beloved is mine and I am his. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. But in both of those acknowledgements, it is followed by these words, He feedeth among the lilies. He feedeth among the lilies. He receives to himself the trophies of his sufferings in honour and glory. He rightfully, it is wholly right to receive honour and glory from his people. Do we consider it much? Do we consider it enough? Do we acknowledge it, friends? Oh, he comes down into his garden to eat his pleasant fruits. Are they freely given, freely available, freely shown forth, freely his honour and glory, his people in love, glorifying him, telling of him, acknowledging him. My beloved, he's gone down into his garden. Oh, how solemn it is if it's, you acknowledge he's gone down in his garden. He's blessed some other soul. He's blessed me. But that other soul is speaking of him, testifying of him. What about me? My beloved, he's gone down into his garden to eat his pleasant fruits. Oh, he comes down, friends. He's come down here a few times, I'm sure of it. Is he coming down now? What about you? He's come to eat his pleasant fruits, to receive to himself the honour and glory due unto him. Oh, think of what he suffered. Think of how he bled and died. Think of how he paid the price for sin. Think of how he suffered unto death, even the death of the cross. Think of him in Gethsemane. Think of him in the judgment hall. Oh, what he went through, what he endured. No tongue can tell to save my soul from death and hell. Oh, are we living with all manner of carefulness about other things and neglecting God's great salvation, what we hope he's done for us? Friends, he comes down into his garden. Where are you? We're very solemn and sinful, isn't it? If we even go back like we know it was with Adam and Eve, they hid themselves in the garden. Hope you're not hiding yourself from your Lord. Oh, friends, how solemn these things are. Solemn points to consider. Oh, your dear Lord and Saviour and mine, he's so precious, he's done such wonderful things, wrought our righteousness, redeemed us, bought us with a price. Oh, friends, he's our Lord. We hope we can say our life and our all. Oh, we must tell of him. We must acknowledge him. we must speak of him. Speak the honours of his name, his love, divinely fair, his person, his holy person. Oh, Jesus Christ, God's dear Son, our Redeemer, our elder brother, who was born for adversity and come to this world and suffered the greatest adversity ever any have suffered. None have suffered like he. Born for adversity, suffered in our stead. Think of it, friends. Oh, our elder brother. We're adopted children that God the Father has taken in hand. He, God's first elect. Oh, the Son of God, by eternal generation, eternal Son of God. But God the Father gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, God, so loved the world, the world of his people, all his people, that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him. Oh, are we blessed to believe in him? Has he given us the favours to truly know and taste his love? And how are we living then, if he's favoured us in those ways? If he's not yet favoured you, are you in gracious exercise seeking earnestly for those favours? Oh, are you really in diligence to make your calling and election sure? I ask myself these solemn questions, need to, as much as I ask you. May we be in diligence. May God help us. May God help us to live to the praise of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May we have these times when our heart is indicted in a good manner, but let us not let them pass by. Oh, friends, if your heart is indicted in a good manner, oh, there are those things that God is so, in his will and purpose, impressing upon you and bringing you to consider and enabling you to speak of. How solemn to be silent when he so blesses, when he so favours us. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £705, for which we're very thankful. God willing, there'll be a church meeting tomorrow evening at 8:30. Mr. Wheatley is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Charles Woolboys next Lord's Day. He hopes to address the Sunday school. Let us close with hymn 927. Thou only sovereign of my heart, my refuge, my almighty friend, and can my soul from thee depart, on whom alone my hopes depend. 927.
Dear Lord, do forgive anything there was seen amiss. Lord, help us, lead us on. Don't let the friends think we had any notes, Lord. Who knoweth we only fished their Bible in to have the full verse of Scripture on the one page. Oh, Lord, do go on to work here and bless souls. Do them good. There was poured in tonight and a poor instruments poured out. Oh, bless thy word, Lord. Bless thy people. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.